Well, today is a special day. We are, of course, we've got special here, but we also have special in that this is the end of the sermon series called Upside Down Kingdom, Living the Surprising and Subversive Way of Jesus. Over the past weeks, we have looked at the different ways of God's kingdom, namely that it's different than any other kingdom in history. Because Jesus turns our expectations upside down. He welcomes those who are outcast. He sends ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Jesus offers rest to the weary. Amen? Amen. Scatters God's grace with extravagant generosity. And finally teaches that God's patience is so much greater than our patience. That's good news. Well, this morning, Jesus does the same. He turns upside down our expectation, and he does it with five loaves and two fish. Five loaves and two fish. There was a young minister who was preaching his very, very first sermon, and he got up and he preached, and at the end, he wanted to reiterate his point. But instead of saying five loaves and two fish, he said, and Jesus fed five men with 5,000 loaves and 2,000 fish. And during the sermon, a gentleman in the front said, that's easy, I could do that. And he was embarrassed, and he went home, and he came back the next Sunday, and he was determined to get it right. So he got back up, and he said, and Jesus fed 5,000 people with five loaves and two fish. And he was, I got it. And then he said to the man, now, Mr. Perkins, could you do that? And Mr. Perkins, he says, of course I could. I could have done it with all the fish from last week sermon. It's silly, I know. I couldn't help myself. But most of us know how this story goes, right? A large crowd, there's a small amount of food. Jesus does his thing, and everybody is filled. It's a miracle, and people know it. We know this miracle. But I want us today to kind of put ourselves into it, put ourselves into the story as if we are standing there as one of the disciples, and Jesus turns to us, because he does. He breaks it. He gives the meal to the disciples, and he says, now you feed them. What do you have to offer? Because you're going to feed them. What would you do in this case? This is what this sermon is about. What would you do? As the day wears on, the disciples begin to notice the obvious problem, the crowd. Matthew tells us that there were 5,000 men. And when you include women and children, it's likely between 10 to 15,000 people that are there gathered. So the disciples do what most of us would do. They pull out their calculator, and they're like, this math doesn't math. They pull it out, they look at the crowd, they count the numbers, they look at their resources, and they're like, no way, this is not happening. So the disciples come up with a great plan, a plan I think you and I would come up with too. Send the crowds away, they say. It's not that they don't care. They're being practical. They've got their calculator. They've done the math. And it's not paying off. I actually feel sorry for people here in town. Little Thief Bakery, has anybody been there? Really good. And I see the lineup outside the door. But what happens when all the bread and all the pastry's gone and you're still in that lineup? What a ripoff, right? That'd be terrible to hear those disappointing words. Sorry. We're sold out. But that's life, isn't it? When there's no more to give, you send people away. Sorry, we're sold out. Jesus dismissed the crowd. Let them go to the villages and buy food for themselves. It's practical, logical. It's exactly what most of us would do too. Then Jesus says something that turns everything around. They need not go away. You give them something to eat. Can you imagine the silence? With what? Jesus, have you seen what we have? Impossible. Exactly. Because before Jesus performs a miracle, he first brings his disciples face to face with their inadequacy. If we're honest, many of us know exactly how the disciples felt. We live in a world that constantly tells us there's not enough. The cost of groceries continue to rise. Fuel costs more. Housing feels increasingly out of touch for many young families. Retirement, too, is becoming more uncertain. People work hard, yet at the end of the day, there seems to be less and less there. We can begin to think in a scarcity mentality, too. And scarcity mentality, it's not just about money. Sometimes it's about time as well, isn't it? We live on a treadmill that never seems to end. Anybody else like this? It's just one thing after another. There's always another appointment, always another practice, always another meeting, always another email, always another responsibility. It just feels like you're going and going and going. And when somebody asks how we're doing, what do we say? Fine. We rush from one thing to the next. It's hard to keep your head sometimes above water, to catch a breath. That scarcity mentality can quietly shape our hearts. And instead of asking when we see somebody like this how we can help, we may even say we just don't have enough time. Instead of seeing people, we begin to see problems. Even the church can begin to think this way. There isn't enough money. There's not enough volunteers. Who's going to run this? Who's got the energy to do that? There's not enough young families. There aren't enough leaders. There isn't enough energy. And before long, our language sounds a lot like the disciples. Send them away. We may not say it out loud, of course, but it begins to feel like that. Too many needs. Too many people. How can one person really make a difference? How can one church really make a difference? How can my little contribution really make a difference? The disciples asked the same question. They looked at what they had, yet Jesus looked at who he was, and that made all the difference. Yet notice something remarkable. Jesus never asked the disciples to become the miracle themselves, right? He never says, figure it out, do better math, get a better calculator, make better prayers. Instead, he asked the disciples, bring what you have. Bring what you have. That's all. 5 loaves, 2 fish, not even close. A little while ago, my son and I, we went fishing, and we were fishing in the river. It was wonderful. Bass, anybody caught a bass before? They're so fast, and they really tug. It feels like you've got a whale on there. So you're fishing along, and we caught this walleye, and it was huge, beautiful fish, and it literally felt like I was pulling out a tire. It was nothing. It was just this dead weight. I'm like, what is on this thing? We got it out. It was this beautiful fish. We put batter on it. We cooked it in the frying pan. It was delicious, but the thing was so fat, we could feed the whole campsite. It was awesome. It was awesome. One good-sized fish can feed several people. Imagine looking at 2 fish and 5 small barley loaves while thousands and thousands gather outside. They must have thought, there's no way. They weren't being selfish. They were simply being realistic. It's impossible. And they were right. It was impossible for them. But Jesus takes what little they have, he lifts it towards heaven, gives thanks to God, breaks it, and he gives it to them. Gives it to them. And now they're going to go with it. And everybody ate, and they were filled. 12 baskets left over, one after another, family after family, coming and being satisfied. It tells us something of the heart of God, doesn't it? That God's kingdom isn't about scarcity. That God's kingdom is about abundance. Not abundance so we can accumulate more, but abundance so that we can share and be the hands and feet of God. Jesus has every reason himself to withdraw. His cousin, John, terrible, has just been murdered by King Herod. And so Jesus finds himself a boat. He's grieving. He probably just wants to be alone, right? He goes to a deserted place by himself to just grieve. And what is it? The crowds come over. And what does he do? He turns his grief for them. He turns his grief into that. And he just sees that and he has compassion. He's grieving, and yet his compassion for them is so much greater. And so he when the disciples say, turn him away, he probably was thinking, yeah, it's a good idea. But no, he has compassion for the crowd. What an astonishing picture of our Savior. Even in his own grief, he notices somebody else's. Even while carrying sorrow, he carries others. He doesn't simply meet their spiritual needs. He feeds the hungry, helps the hurting, restores the broken. This is who God is. A God whose compassion is always greater than our need. That's where the miracle really meets us. It isn't that thousands of people ate lunch that afternoon. The greater miracle is that ordinary disciples discovered, my little is enough in Jesus' hands. Your little is enough in Jesus' hands. Do you get that? What you have to offer is enough in Jesus' hands. Think about our own little congregation. We aren't the biggest. We don't have unlimited resources or volunteers or energy. There are days when we wonder too whether we have enough. And yet look at what God can do. Think about that building project that was completed last year with the elevator and the washroom and the kitchen. Every week this past season of soup lunches, people have been coming in, and the town council now does a soup lunch. We've got Vince is doing a soup lunch. We've got the Rotary Club. Of course, our St. Andrew's Chalmers folks too. Different groups coming in, and it's such a wonderful gathering of people. We're really blessing the community. Durham Health is offering testing during our, you don't have to get a test, I'm just saying, they do special testing. And it's a really good thing. But we've watched Messy Church welcome new families. We've watched Knit and Natter build relationship. We've watched the Ladies Association bless different community groups in such amazing ways. We've watched the Growing Together Fund change life both here and around the world. Doctors Without Borders, Canadian Food Grains Bank. None of that began because we had everything. It began because ordinary people offered what they had, a skill, a good idea, a check, a prayer, a loaf, a fish, an afternoon, a willing heart. And then Jesus does what Jesus always does. He takes it and then gives it back to us to give to others. Friends, that is what following Jesus is all about. He takes what little we have, gives it back to us, and then sends us off to do his work. Friends, this is the good news of the gospel. So whatever you have today, your gift, your time, your resource, your compassion, even your brokenness, even that place of hurt, give it to God, and then he will send you out to help other people. Ordinary people place ordinary gifts into the hands of a loving and compassionate God. Friends, this is what it's all about. God takes what little we have, sends us out to be a blessing to others. Thank you for this good and gracious gift, God. Amen.